First order of business, those present, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Reddy, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick. First thing I want to do, on behalf of Councilman Cartier and I, is to apologize to everyone in the room. We postponed the last hearing because some people had some fear of weather. By the way, Councilman Cartier and I were here in the office when the calls came.
I was outside.
Now, apparently, there's a fear of sunshine. Councilman Bell, thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir.
So, on the record, Councilman Taggart will not be able to be present today. Councilman Hollins will not be able to be present today. Councilman Weiner will not be able to be present today, which shows there's a bright spot in everybody's day. And that we are recording, right? Okay. Because I don't want anything misunderstood. Councilman Sheldon will not be present today. And President Bullock will be joining us, but he has to leave early. Given that we don't have a quorum, there's no sense taking a vote on this. We're going to move and have the county auditor go first, mostly because he's the shortest and the most boring, so we can get him out of the way. So, and as everyone in the room should be aware by now, when you take the seat, please identify yourself. And let's go. President Bullock has joined us. Mr. Wasserbach, you're on it. We now have a quorum. And I report that I have no motion. There's no motion.
Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. Thank you, Co-Chair Smiley, Co-Chair Cartier, and other distinguished council members for allowing me the opportunity to present the County Auditor's fiscal year 2014 budget. I think the best place to begin is page 2, and it shows the budget history. I will say, I went back and looked at the budget history, at budget versus actual for the past 5 or 6 years, and we've always been under budget. We've never gone over budget. We are requesting an increase in fiscal year 2014 of 3.87%. And if you go to page 4 in the book, the explanations are pretty much covered on this page. Most of the increase as a total is about $14,000. Most of that is in salaries and wages. I'm proposing about $10,000 to engage a college intern. Now, that could be less. And the rest of the money in salaries and wages is regularly scheduled salary increases. And the increase in employee benefits is due to the employee benefits rate being increased from 47.7% to 50.9%. We did take $5,000 from contractual services and move that to salaries and wages. So that mitigated the overall increase somewhat. Cross charges for intergovernmental services are up slightly. That's based on a percentage which is provided to us by the administration. So with that, I'll entertain any questions on the budget book.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess question on the college intern. What does it bring to your office? How will it assist your office, and what actually type of program are you going to be offering with the internship?
Well, my expectation or my hope was to get somebody that's a junior in college, somebody who could, if it's a senior, the person's going to be graduating and maybe off elsewhere, somebody who's in their junior year, which if they're in the accounting program, they're getting hot and heavy into the program their junior year. So we had created new job descriptions last year for the senior staff auditor. We have a staff auditor, and we have one we call associate auditor, so the college intern would fit into that associate auditor, although he or she would be paid on an hourly basis based on what the normal rate is for that particular college. But my plan would be to entry level, teach the person basic auditing, we're working on developing our audit plan for next fiscal year, so this person would be working under Lynn McIntosh, my senior staff auditor, who I forgot to introduce at the very beginning. I'm sorry, Lynn. The person would be working for Lynn McIntosh and for me. We would give Lynn a little bit of supervisory experience and would also help us in getting field work done on the audits on our audit plan. And the expectation might be if the person is with us for a couple of years, maybe when the person graduates, maybe economic times could be better then, and possibly the person could be hired full time. But that would be a couple of years down the road.
Are you putting your job on the line?
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious.
Yeah, a couple of years when they graduate from college, move into the county auditor position. Did I answer your question, Councilman
Cordier?
Yes.
President Bullock.
The position for the associate auditor, the $10,000 request, that's in salaries and wages?
That's in part-time salaries.
I'm just looking on the budget breakdown.
It's in salaries and wages.
Okay. Exactly. Realizing that our auditing department is literally a full-time auditor and a part-time staff person right now, I could see the benefit of employing a college intern. I think we need to do a better job in county government exposing our college and university people to this government and service. And an intern position, I think, could be really helpful and useful. But I think, you know, you need to have a structured program for them to come into so that we know, you know, their job duties and what they're going to review. And I hope before you actually, train or hire someone for that, you submit that to us so we have a sense of what their job plan will be. Otherwise, I think, you know, it's great and real-world experience for that person. And you're right. If it's a good fit down the road, you could have a, you know, person that has a inside track with a kind of good knowledge of county government and what to look for. So I think it's a good idea.
President Bullock.
I concur with Councilman Cardi. It's a good idea, but I do have a question.
Okay.
Where are you looking? How are you marketing? You said universities, University of Delaware, Delaware State, Wilmington University, Dell Tech. Where are you looking and who are you talking to?
Well, we haven't talked to anybody yet because it's for next fiscal year, but obviously it's getting close to the end of this fiscal year, so right about now is the time to begin looking. And I would anticipate looking at all of those universities. I would like to participate with all the local universities. So, University of Delaware, Goldie Beacon, Wilmington College, Delaware State, Dell Tech. If you have any particular ideas, I'm wide open to them.
Talk.
Yeah. I mean, they're all good institutions.
Yes.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Yeah, I went to University of Delaware, but I've got no particular allegiance to it.
Okay. As long as we're looking far and wide.
Yeah.
Any further questions from any members of council? Any questions from the public?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, next on our agenda, the executive office.
Thank you, members of council.
Identify yourself for the record.
CEO David Grimaldi. If we start on page one, we've got 14 positions. That's essentially, it's no change. The executive office has maintained 14 positions over the last few years. We still maintain some vacancies. We have a vacancy of chief of staff, director of communications, and a redevelopment director. If we go to page two, you'll see that we are requesting a 4.35% increase. That is mostly from salary and benefits, and we'll get into that in the next couple pages. If we go to, page three is a breakdown. And just so you know, each line item represents a zero year-over-year change, with the exception of salary and benefits. And frankly, that's a little bit misleading because the CAO's salary was previously in the Office of Law because he was serving as both. So you bring that over, and that represents the increase, and then, of course, the 2.5% going back in benefits. As far as diversity on page 5, that is a driver of who we select in both the executive office and as our department heads. We make a real concerted effort to make sure that who we hire represents the community we serve, and I would argue we probably have the most ethnically diverse executive committee of any other administration. If we go to page 6, you'll see each line item, 0% increase. IGS, the cross charges, which I'm still trying to figure that one out. But salaries are 2% higher, and that's simply because of the CAO salary. So we've literally just had a zero increase budget with that one exception. Yes, sir.
Down the street.
Page 6.
Yes.
Why zero in contingency?
Zero in contingency?
Mr. Milwaukee?
Actually,
yeah,
the contingency
zero
is
increase.
And Milwaukee from the finance office. The executive contingency is handled separately in a separate call center. Their budget is $300,000 for executive contingency, same as the current year budget. Same thing with council contingency, it's handled separate than their budget. It's a separate call center. So there's no change in the executive contingency from what it was budgeted this year, $300,000. So that's in a separate call center. And that was reviewed when we did the revenues and debt service and contingencies. It was in there.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ball.
That's the basis. It's a pretty easy budget. I'm assuming that Councilman Smiley has some questions.
I have some in my office, but I'm not going to ask them here because I'm still waiting on them to be replied to. Any questions from any members of council?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So basically, what we're seeing is pretty much a current level budget. You know, from a zero base standpoint, I mean, you're going to remain basically at your current level.
Flat, absolutely.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes. So you have 14 positions, like previous fiscal year, and you have how many vacant there?
It looks like five vacancies.
Five. So you have currently a staff of 9 with 5 vacancies.
Yes. And one of them we did hire somebody in between when this was printed, who was going to start on Monday as an EA.
Any other questions? Main numbers? Councilman Street.
Chairman, I'd like to go back to Mr. Milwick. The history, when did the contingency change from 500 to 300? Or was it, am I correct in that, that it did change?
Hey, Milwick, from finance. One time it was around 690,000, the contingency, and I think, I would have to check, but I think it was underneath the Coons administration, and it got brought back down to 300,000. I'd have to check those dollars to be sure of that.
Thank you.
But it was up to 690
a month. Any other questions from any members of council? Any questions from the public? Who would have thought the budget would be easier than the resolution, huh?
Shock. Thank you.
Okay, next, if we can have the clerk of the peace, please. Everybody loves for their first anniversary.
Hello, everybody. You've got the budget in front of you. The numbers are what they are. I'm going to give you a little briefing about what those numbers mean. Here's something you're not going to see in the numbers. As you are well aware, if you read the newspaper, listen to a radio, or watch TV, there's a statewide dialogue and debate going on right now over same-sex marriage. In fact, the county executive has spoken out in favor of that, along with the governor and several members of our congressional delegation. I just want to give you an update on the progress of that initiative. My office has been preparing for a variety of circumstances that may or may not take place, depending on the whims of the General Assembly. We have spent countless hours of time and energy and money trying to figure out what our options are. I'd like to share some of that with you here today. First of all, I'd like you to explain that the decision goes far beyond the state of Delaware and legislative hall. The United States Supreme Court now has some decisions, some cases before it that will have great impact because their decisions may come down in different layers and have different impacts on how that may or may not play out in Delaware. The law as it is right now is we have civil unions in Delaware, and probably by the end of this month we will have done approximately 700 of them statewide, the majority of them right here in Newcastle County. If the same-sex marriage law is enacted here in Delaware, it will be proposed, I assume, from my communications with people involved in the initiative, that those 700 civil unions would be automatically, in a variety of different forms, and I'll explain that in a minute, become marriages, so that we would actually phase out of civil unions and have marriages only, and there would be a process that participants of those civil unions would go through. It is, as planned, not a process, but two or three different options tied to timelines as to how they would get from that civil union into the full status of a marriage. Much of that will depend on the Supreme Court decision. Much of that will depend on the language in the law, in the legislation proposed in Dover. And there will, I expect there will be a variety of amendments that may be introduced that would impact that even more. In the numbers before you, you see absolutely nothing in there that relates to this entire dialogue. You need to know now that there will be expenses involved. Now, we have a technological fund. There may be an opportunity, I've already talked with the executive department during my budget discussions there, that we may need to ask for a draw off of that. And I use the word draw, because whenever I take money from that or anywhere else, I try to offset that with how I'm going to replace it, by either fees that are coming in or other services, so that whatever money I draw out of, I not only replace, but hopefully will bring you back more than you choose to give me at the time. I'd like to tell you more about how all that legislative process will work, but the bill hasn't been introduced yet. I can tell you this, that, and it is just an educated guess, I think that bill will probably be introduced before the end of the month. I think that that bill will probably start working its way through the two chambers early next month. So as it plays out, we will have a better idea as when it, how everything will happen, again, depending on the United States Supreme Court opinions. Two things come into play here. It might very well be a mandate that we begin this process, depending on the United States Supreme Court rulings, as early as July 1. Here's what I can tell you. When it comes to the logistics and technology of how we would accomplish that, we will be prepared. We will be ready. As to how we will pay for it, I don't know, because I can't tell you what the price tag is until I know what we're buying, until I know what we have to develop. I can't give you that information until I have more information myself. So for that, I apologize, but I can tell you that the document in front of you is incomplete. And it's incomplete because I can't give you guesstimates and estimates on outcomes that I cannot yet predict. So if you have any questions in that regard before I go to the next statement, I will be glad to entertain them.
I'll just say I woke up in a very optimistic mood this morning. So I firmly believe whether it's federal mandate or state that they will send a check along with the requirement and we'll be fine. Councilman Cartier.
I can appreciate the uncertainty and ambiguity of the future of your office with all the court cases and legislation. And, you know, just like community services, which is a recipient of Fed HUD dollars, tremendous amount of uncertainty about their budget, things that are beyond our control, can appreciate that. And I know you folks do a great job there at the Clerk of the Peace, and it's always great to see happy couples getting ready to get married by Newcastle County Clerk of the Peace. And maybe you bring a lot of good feeling to the public.
And civil unions.
And civil unions. Thank you very much. And that brings me to a point. What does it cost currently for a marriage license or civil union?
They're both the same. $50 for Delaware residents, $100 for out-of-state residents. We have the identical fees for ceremonies.
The chair wants to recognize Councilman.
Okay, and
second time.
We'll await whatever the courts and the legislature decide, and you know, feel free to come in front of us with a report, and we'll manage with the executive.
You will
support
see
your
again.
Office. No.
But I can tell you this, I have no intentions or desire to raise licensing or ceremony fees at all. That will not happen.
I spent more than that.
Yes. One other thing, just as a point of interest, for those of you who, like myself, read the newspapers, you might have been surprised, even though I had full knowledge of it, that approximately a week and a half ago, State Representative Deborah Hudson introduced a bill to do away with the office of the Clerk of the Peace. No other row officer and no other explanation, just the office of the Clerk of the Peace, more specifically the elected office of Clerk of the Peace, which means that everyone else would still have a job but myself. Well, just to share the information with you, I've read the bill that's circulating through Legislative Hall, and I've read it along with my counterparts in Kent and Sussex County. It just simply says that they're doing away with our job. What it doesn't say is who would do the job. It doesn't say who would pick up the duties, who would be the record keeper, who would send all the information to the courts, and to the other probate systems, and to the other situations that we serve, Social Security and everyone else. It doesn't say what would happen to the county employees. It doesn't say what the transition period would be or how it would work. It didn't say who would take over the job or how they would get that job. It just said do away with the job. I'm not suggesting that it's in any way political. However, it doesn't include any of the other row officers that are held statewide, perhaps by members of the Republican Party and not the Democratic Party. And interestingly enough, the Clerk of the Peace office in all three counties is for the first time that I can ever remember held by three Democrats. And now the discussion comes up. I'm not certain where the bill will go, but I can promise you this, that when it hits the floor or public hearings in Dover, you'll see me there.
And I will be happy to join you if you'd like.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions? Councilman Street.
You brought us up to speed and let us know what's going on. Is there anything that you want council to do or pursue at this time?
No, I just want you, and you're talking about in reference to the same-sex marriage bill?
No.
Or in reference to my job? Not really, because this is my 41st year in county government. I've been here a little while, and I have a pretty good relationship with members of the General Assembly. I feel very confident that if there's going to be any change, that I will be part of directing how that change takes place, or if there is any consolidation or any other talks, that I will be a principal in those instead of an afterthought. I've talked with the leadership. In both sides of the aisles. I was just sharing that with you as a courtesy, not a concern.
Okay. Anything else? I would just renew, as I have every budget year, I still think that we ought to have, your office ought to have the authority to undo what you do. I think we should have a marriage termination window and make the revenue off of that. I think it will exceed, but...
Well,
as I
exit the room, I'll share with you an interesting conversation I had this morning. As you know, myself and our esteemed Register of Wills shared the same floor on the second floor. And a person met me at the elevator and said, you know, I just realized, because they were coming in to get some documents, they said, I just realized that the death certificate and my marriage certificate are almost identical. Look, they're the same. And then the person with them said, you're right. No matter which one you got, your life is over. I don't agree with that.
I think Councilman Bell, on the record, wants to agree to that.
I don't agree with that, neither would my lovely wife. Bell, Councilman, Bell. Councilman Bell.
Four years this September, and I'm still perfectly happy. I'm gifted to have a wife that I have.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
While away on vacation last week, I reminded my wife that this month we will have been married 36 years, and she reminded me happily for three.
Best 3 years of her life.
Now, I just want to enter on the record that, you know, when our clerk of the peace says 41 years in county government and as an elected official of this county, there's a reason for that. And we say it here, and I think it needs to be said each time that we have a budget hearing, is that I truly believe that Kenny represents the best of county government. He is really the steward of tremendous interpersonal skills, him and his staff, and working with folks. And we all joke a little bit about it, but I think that his actions and the way he handles his office and deals with the public continuously reflects favorably back on his government, on his county as a government. And just applaud your efforts. Keep up the great work.
Councilman Carter.
I kind of want to echo Councilman Bell's statements and also point out that, you know, in the time that I've been here watching repeated attempts by members of the General Assembly trying to conduct raids, changes to our row office system, which is a very good system, which renders excellent service to everybody who comes in contact with all of our row offices. It's not a system that is broken, but they constantly want to mess around with it. And it shows a lack of respect and a lack of real understanding about the vital services and the efficiencies and the immediacy of services that people receive. It's not a broken part of government, but they seem to want to mess around with it all the time. And it's really annoying.
Okay. Thank you all.
Have a great day.
Go forth and ruin some lives. Recorder of Deeds.
For the record, Michael Kozakowski, Recorder of Deeds. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Smiley, Co-Chair Cartier, Co-Chair Tackett. Also, council members, County Council President, row officers, administrative leadership.
Motion adjourned.
Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce two of my senior staff, Renee Boyle, Office Administrator, and Ed Dale, Office Administrator. Unfortunately, my chief deputy could not be with us this afternoon, Tom Ferrier, but I know he was definitely looking forward to having the opportunity to say hi to all of you. I'd like to begin by adhering to the actual proposal that was outlined by County Council for us to present. The ROD budget for 2014 is a modest 1.6% above last year's approved budget. If we all turn to page 9, you can see that the increase was due to employee benefits up 6.01%, but salaries and wages reduced by 0.62%. Contractual services up 0.51%. Training and civic affairs up 19.25%, but I request to have equipment replacement reduced 20%. And I had emphasized in response to council in regards to some of the questions and concerns you had regarding some of these items. Fixed charges plus 57.89%. IGS costs up 0.38%. Fixed charges is to deal with since 2007, the ROD has funded the public safety and a recorder deeds kiosk at Junior Achievement of Delaware. In the FY11 and FY12 recorder deeds budgets, the public safety kiosk expense was removed from the ROD fixed charges line item but the expense was paid from unexpended monies from the ROD budgets at the end of the fiscal periods for those two budget cycles, for FY11 and FY12. The budget that the ROD is recommending for 2014 is $2,265,738. And just to show how fiscally responsible the Recorder D's office has been for not only our citizens of Newcastle County, but also our Newcastle County government, is that the budget that I am introducing today is $151,000 less than the budget that I introduced in 2007. On page 13, programs, services, deletions, accomplishments, challenges, and technology improvements. Under services, as you're well aware, over the past year and a half, my senior staff, along with the Delaware Electronic Recording Commission, has worked on putting the dynamics together, requirements for statewide uniform standards. Back in December 2012, the Delaware Electronic Recording Commission that I am chair of adopted these requirements, and now we're in the process of each county working on putting together a working model to present to our primary business organizations, offering them a third alternative delivery system on recording their documents. They can continue to walk in their documents, or they can continue to mail in their documents, but now, once we're up and running, we're looking at them sending them over electronically. Under our other services that we provide is something that is really close to my heart, and if you probably heard me make reference to the fact, and it's my branded message, is that we always put the customer first and we strive for continuous improvement. Well, back in 2006, we had introduced a continuous improvement empowerment matrix that my staff and my senior staff, where my five section team leaders get to meet along with over a period of time. We have those meetings with senior staff, and then the senior staff meets with me to discuss the world of work, any task performed that needs to be amended or changed, the pulse of the customer, so on and so forth. Deletions. The only thing that's changed in the Recorder of Deeds office is that we, as of October of 2012, we no longer have the compressed work schedule. Beginning after assessing and reevaluating, determining whether or not we were going to reintroduce another compressed work schedule, we decided, the senior staff, as of January 1st of 2013, we changed our operating hours from 9 to 5 to 8:30 to 4:30. Now, as far as accomplishments, so this is something that we have worked on for approximately 4 years, and with the support of our legal department, we addressed an issue on recording of documents by indigenous citizens, where we have been informed by our county legal department that even though I do not have the authority to determine and evaluate whether a document is valid, our county legal department has taken upon, after inventory and after reviewing, they have decided that the protocol that we put in place, that before these documents that are recorded, that are in question, we inform the constituent that these documents will be sent to the county legal department for review, and the county legal department will determine on whether or not we should record these documents. If they decide that these documents should not be recorded, they inform me, and then I send the constituent a letter informing them that the course of action, if they do not agree, they can go take this matter to Superior Court for review. So I am glad to see that this policy is now implemented, because it really has reduced the amount of these miscellaneous documents being recorded in the Recorder D's office. As far as another accomplishment, we have generated over $670,000 in the Recorder Deeds Technology Fund. The fund has provided upgrades in our row offices and just recently Public Safety Smart 911. And currently the fund is being offered for use to County Council for upgrading their audio and video equipment here in Council Chambers. The other thing that we've been working on continuously is our ROD mortgage book project. We complete rescanning from 1989 to 1984. This is an ongoing project of 5,200 mortgage books from 1996 to 1979. A savings to the county of $280,000 if the project were to be outsourced. Challenges in the recorder's office. Generate over $7 million in FY 2014. Implement e-recording. We're right now in our infancy stages where we're working with our IS department along with our software vendor to actually put together the test model to record those documents that I have worked and talked with my senior staff in regards to which documents that we will start recording, and it most likely will be assignments and satisfactions. Continue redacting Social Security numbers from our documents. Educate the public through our PowerPoint presentation, newsletter, and brochures, along with our web videos. Continue to rescanning of mortgage books from 1984 to 1979. Continue to review process and start the rescanning of mortgage books from 1996 to 2000, which will be a cost savings of approximately $143,000 if the project was outsourced. Now, as far as technological improvements, we are in discussion right now with our IS department. It's going on 5 years, time for us to replace all of our hardware, our servers, upgrade our servers with also computers and monitors. And the other thing that I have on the list is two items that we're not going to be able to outsource. And for your review, I'd like to pass these out to council. And these are, there we go. These are estimates that these are two projects that you will definitely have to outsource. And one of them is the scanning of our index books, which are 192 books from 1920 to 1945. Our imaging retrieval system,
here's one.
Actually, online, you can access your deeds back to 1945. One of the continuous improvement items that I have emphasized since I've been your recorder deeds is actually looking at taking our indices all the way back to where everything is online. But of course, you know, we have our priorities and focusing on what needs we need to fill first. And of course, having the technology fund available to address, being able to address some of these matters is fortunate. As you can see, that to scan and index these deed books using our countywide vendor, the estimate that he submitted to us was $148,629. And also another outsourced item is to convert our microfilm. We're looking at 2,115 rolls of film, and we'd like to convert them to digital reel. And by converting them to digital reel, it gives a lot of flexibility in regards to not only being able to provide the microfilm, if needed, to our subscribers that use our website and access our documents through the imaging retrieval system, but by being capable of taking the microfilm and having it on digital reel, we'll also be able to provide our light users access to this information through a PDF file. And of course, that cost expense would be $64,509. Page 15, personnel. From 2007 to 2012, we had 28 employees in the Court of Deeds office. In 2013, we had 27, but due to retirements, we had two vacancies. An account clerk one retired on 4/30/2012, and a retired deputy two retired January 1st of 2013. The account clerk one position will probably be filled in the next couple weeks. The deputy two position will remain vacant until we determine if there's a need to fill it. Page 17, contractual services. As you can see on page 17, our cost, our ROD related services are approximately $58,618. Our intergovernmental service costs are $156,987. Now, to give you some performance updated information on our performance standards, our corporation revenue on page 22 is up 2.42% from FY 2012. On page 23, deeds, mortgages, and SATs comparison, our document recording are down 5.19% in FY 2013, but FY 12 versus 13 comparing documents to dollars, our FY 13 is up 20.23% to date. And last but not least, page 21, which is our web revenue generated from our subscribers and light users, was $163,650 in FY 12, and year to date in FY 2013, it is $52,641, a 24.36% increase. And that concludes my report to council.
Questions from members of council? Councilman Bell.
I guess, we shouldn't let it go without saying it, but I think that, once again, we're very blessed to have the row officers that we have. You've been in this business a long time. But the thing that always amazes me, doesn't surprise me, but it's amazing to the fact that I think you bring a certain level of excellence in leadership and management skills, and that, you and your staff be very creative, visionary, progressive, innovative with new technology, and at the end of the day, your mission is to deliver the best service to the citizens of Newcastle County. So, I think that you and your staff deserve a lot of credit once again for the job that you do.
Any questions, any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are on parole. Register of wills. And before you even start, I'll tell you, I remain available to be the perpetual beneficiary, although you won't use it.
Cyril Poppity, the Register of Wills. Just like to start by thanking council and actually everyone here today, because you've given me the honor of serving as the Register of Wills. And I love the job. I'm now in the midst of my third year, and I love coming to work every day. And so I thank everyone here. In terms of our dashboard metrics, I'm very proud that we have completed 2 full years of evening hours in Middletown. In terms of the old backlog of estates, we have, as of the end of March, we have closed 343 old estates and generated $556,181. We are 120 days into e-filing, and the system is working well. And finally, we continue to emphasize diversity in the workforce. I welcome Tracy Henn, our office manager, and I note, as I have before with pride, that Virginia Gokul, my chief deputy, is the highest ranking Indian American in county government. Great to be back. Budget is basically the same as last year. Look forward to answering questions.
Question by member of council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate, and I say we, I think as overall as a council, but especially Bill Powers and I, representing south of the C&D Canal, the southern part of Newcastle County, what you brought in citizen services below the canal. It's been noticed, it's been acknowledged, and it's very much appreciated by our constituents. So, once again, innovation, reaching out, willing to accept change, come up with different ideas to better serve the public. So, you and your staff, we appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Councilman Powers.
I have to say, it's something I wish we could get land use to do the same thing. It might help a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I also want to commend you on your innovative leadership going down to Middletown and letting people know that we you're available for them in that part of the county. And, you know, I just want to also compliment your staff. As you well know, I'm in the middle of a state myself, and it's an arduous process. And the staff is excellent, always helpful. And, you know, I look forward to hopefully settling my estate when the summer's out and contributing to the coffers of the county. The one that I'm an executor for.
I'm for yourself.
Oh, no. That's right. That would be rather odd, wouldn't it? Okay. So thank you for your appearance and holding the line on spending again this year. Okay.
Any further questions from council? Any further kumbaya? Anything from the public? Thank you very much. We're on a record.
Had to go there.
When you don't change the budget, you don't have to ask. Okay. We have a motion to recess until 4:45.
You won't have a quarter. Yeah,
chair is always pleased.
Take a shot at the chair. Not the first time that's happened.
I shot.
You know, my mom, the optimist, would say they save the best for last. And Dad would say, you just drew the short straw, dummy. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I learned from my fellow rail officers to be short and sweet, so...
Apparently you don't listen to Recorder of Deeds, then.
Most of my fellow rail officers...
There we go. Be short and clarification's sweet. Always good.
Thank you for the opportunity. You all have my budget proposal in front of you. I'm pleased to say that it is about $22,000 less than last year. And although we all know salary and benefits went up and cost charges went up, I can't take total credit for the decrease. We're no longer, after this last third payment to the Capitol Police Department, we no longer have to pay them $100,000 a year for the police service at the courthouse. So we're in our last installment, and it didn't happen at the fiscal year end. So we have $33,334 left to pay them. On another note, yesterday was sale day for sheriff's sales, and we set up, or actually sold 60 properties yesterday. We set up 109. Now, to put that in perspective, about a year and a half ago, we were setting up 350 properties and selling about a third of those. Kudos to the General Assembly for passing the mortgage mediation law. It has had a profound effect on home foreclosures. You'll see the numbers in my budget reflect a significant decrease in revenue. And although finance folks probably aren't happy about it, I'm extremely pleased.
Yeah, that's
because the law did what it was supposed to do, and it's essentially kept people in their homes. So we're very happy about that. One of the things that I'm doing in the office now, and you may have read about it in the newspaper, is returning monies to the rightful owners. I would say it's from around $75,000 I've returned in the last year or so to people who's unfortunately lost their homes, but there was excess proceeds left over, and they were entitled to it. We did an article in the paper a few months ago where we had $100,000 in about five properties that monies were entitled to the rightful owners. Unfortunately, we weren't able to return any of that money to write a check to Mr. and Mrs. X. But what we were able to do is pay off many of the liens and judgments against them, which ultimately will help them back on the road to recovery with their credit, things of that nature. So I spoke to a guy yesterday in Florida, and we have about $4,000 that he's entitled to that he didn't know. So ultimately, the goal is to get it to him rather than send it to the state for a project rightful owner. Really proud of that fact. And one person told me I reached out to a guy in Pennsylvania. He said that he doesn't know if any sheriff in the country is doing it. And I don't know either, but he said that our sheriff certainly wouldn't do this. And the truth is, I had a time, and it's probably the best part of my job is to return monies to folks who often need it the most.
What's the timeline that you have to deal with under this crisis? And I'm not talking about with this, but someone's house goes to sheriff's sale this week. and their funds. And the reason I ask that, I don't recall, because I knew I've only had one situation since I've been in office where I actually got a call from a constituent whose house had been sold, and they were due money back, actual funds to them, and they were in a bind because they needed it for to get into an apartment. You know, yeah. That's what they're doing. And I was able to call the past sheriff, said, look, this is all new to me, and they were able to expedite the process. So I was just curious as to how long that actually does take.
Well, there are lots of variables, but typically there's a period where a person can redeem the property.
Right.
And if they don't do that, first in line is Newcastle County, you know, the taxes and things like that, right. And then any liens or judgments are paid, associated fees with attorney's fees, sewer, property taxes, and then whatever's left. And after my attorney, who I contract with, blesses it, essentially saying there's no other lien holders or judgments, then we're able to cut the check. So it can be anywhere from, right now we're dealing with sheriff sales that happened in December. So about 4 months. So I have one on my desk today, it's for $58,000.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble finding the person because people...
Last name Smiley?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
People think it's a scam.
Yeah.
You know, because
and you can't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Who calls and says we owe you money? It doesn't really happen at all. So that's one of the biggest challenges is just trying to track people down.
Getting people to trust you. The other question I have is, have you begun to see an uptick in the foreclosures coming, and it may be too early for this, coming before you in the last few months? Because the Mediation Act was scheduled to expire, and instead the Assembly has now made it in perpetuity, is what I understand. So, because part of the thought process was the mortgage companies all were holding off because they didn't want to go into that program, so they were holding off until it expired, and then they were going to move. But now that it's not going to expire, they've got to get into the program if they're going to move anything else. So I was just curious if you've seen any fluctuation in the last. I know there's fluctuation all the time, but anything significant that's been there.
It's too early to tell.
Okay.
Typically, January, February, March are slow because we're setting these up around Christmas time. But what I'm told is there's still thousands in the pipeline. We're under the impression that many law firms are just waiting for this law to sunset.
Yeah.
I can tell you that for next month, we set up 152. So it's 50 more than last month, but that's not necessarily an anomaly. It varies from month to month.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
When you talk about sold, can you define sold? Does that mean if the bank buys it back or... I mean, do some just not sell, nobody takes them, you still got them?
They all sell.
Okay.
And probably 95% are purchased back by the bank.
Okay, and is that considered a sold by you? Okay.
It's considered a sale. We get our 4% commission, our taxes are paid, other associated fees are paid as well. So they never go unsold. There's
okay.
always an opening bid.
Okay.
Councilman Powers, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Street.
Just a question, and it came up with a constituent of mine, but the property is in Councilman Bell's district, where he was really calling on his ex-wife that went into foreclosure. They're into bankruptcy. This has been 4 years, and now code enforcement is coming in to find them in a house she doesn't live in. You know, it's partly what you're explaining. They haven't brought sheriff sale, meaning the bank, or who technically is liable from code, is the lady that's in bankruptcy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a mess. And, you know, if there's got to be more of these around there, you know, what you're saying, all of a sudden it stopped, but it's almost worse of a problem.
It's a recurring problem nationally. And one of the things that's happening is banks... allowing folks to stay in their homes rather than foreclose on them. I understand the situation is different.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's up to the law firm that represents the bank. I mean, we've had
This was with Bank America, and he wasn't too happy they bailed him out. If they weren't bailed out, they'd be looking to finish what they're doing, take their property back. But it was, you know, it's a real mess.
Councilman Burrier.
I'm really heartened to hear you wanting to refund people surplus funds once the transaction's over. I think that that speaks very well for your office and what I think this government really is about, you know, helping people wherever we can. I call, you know, a lot of times we're giving people second chances all the time, and it's great to see that you're doing that. Now, we know that the mediation program has somehow broken this chain of foreclosures, but do you anticipate that that might run its course and we'll go back to, you know, the foreclosure problem again, or...
I think it'll go up. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever see the historic numbers that we saw a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But I think that, because we talked to our friends at the law firms to see if they still had cases in the pipeline, and they certainly did. So I think you'll see an uptick, but not nearly where it was before.
Okay. Street.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Just one last comment. Is there, I seem to recall that they pulled the clock back on the ending the mediation program and extended it?
It was set to sunset first of next year.
Okay.
And the General Assembly changed that so that it won't sunset.
Okay. Very good.
That might help.
Councilor Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year, we contemplated make some changes in the status of the deputies. I know that didn't go through. What do you anticipate making?
Council was referring to we wanted to give the deputies constable training, and I still think that it's essential training to get. I think many folks didn't know that we do carry firearms. We do have ballistic vests. We do wear uniforms, not police uniforms. And I'm so thankful that we're no longer in the courthouse, because although when the fatal shooting occurred at the courthouse a couple months ago, we had staff there. One of my deputies was actually there. And one of the things we talk about is preparing for the unthinkable as if it's inevitable. And you know, I'd like to see additional training for our sheriffs, but not, you know, obviously we're not Sussex County. We don't want our sheriffs to be police officers. They would have no police power, wouldn't be able to write any tickets, wouldn't be able to do any investigations, and that's the key. But I certainly would like to see the deputies get additional training and things that we spoke about before, such as weaponless defense and verbal judo and handcuffing and less lethal force continuums. Things of that nature, but we haven't, to answer your question, sir, we haven't considered coming back and asking for the constable training at this point. We're essentially waiting for what was going on in Sussex County with Sheriff Christopher and his lawsuit, which I still don't think it's over.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sheriff, you and your staff do an excellent job. Unlike some of the other row offices, you know, your folks are out on the street and sometimes dealing with folks at worst times in their lives, not very good times and everything. And, you know, so it has inherent dangers that others don't have. And he's doing an excellent job. But one of the things that concerned me last year continues to concern me, and I see it again in the budget, and is the... your fleet. 9 vehicles, average of 13 miles per gallon. Most of those vehicles are hand-me-downs. I think our sheriff's office deserves better. I said it last year, I'm going to say it again. And I think that you need the tools. We need the energy efficiency. And I think you're out in the public eye and everything. And from a safety standpoint, we're looking at Caprices and Tauruses and everything. I'd certainly encourage and like to see the administration, Jim McDonald's here, Deputy CAO, to take a hard look at this. We purchase or lease a number of vehicles every year to replace police vehicles and other vehicles in the county, and I think this has gone on too long. I think there's 9 vehicles there, whether we do it over a couple-year period or we do it all at one time, I think it deserves some attention by the administration. Your folks deserve better, better than what they have.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. It is true, we do get hand-me-downs, often police cars or old Tauruses, and we don't need V8 motors. We don't need police cars. We need fuel-efficient vehicles that are eco-friendly to perfect service, to do the work of the courts. And I wholeheartedly agree that we should have vehicles that are more efficient, gas-friendly. At the end of the day, it comes down to dollars. And as you can see in our budget, we weren't in a rush to try to spend more money. Oftentimes, I tell people I spend the money in the sheriff's office like my own. I mean, I don't spend it. My wife won't allow it. But
we probably spend, we probably spend more in trying to maintain these vehicles that have really used, they've come to their useful life and usefulness and everything. And I think it is. It's representative of our county services, but also I think that our personnel that are out there on the street day in and day out deserve to have something that's a little bit more fuel efficient and better than what you have. So.
Well, you mentioned the cross charges. We have one car that's lost a couple transmissions that had to have them replaced. They have high mileage on them. I'm not much of a complainer, but I thank you for your comments tonight, and I hope that that's something we can accomplish.
Councilman Powell.
Thank you.
You just brought up part of what I was going to ask. I mean, the age is between 8 and 13 years old, but the biggest thing is, what is the mileage on these vehicles?
It's in there. It's probably about 13 miles per gallon.
No, not that. I want to know.
Odometer.
Do they have 300,000 miles on them?
I think the high end are over 100,000, but not much over.
Yeah, but a lot of them were police cars and they idled, so you don't know what the hours were on those motors.
And
you know, the problem with the transmission going is when you're idling, you're heating that thing up. So unless you have an external cooling, we've had to take, where we've taken them out of inside the radiators and put them in front of the radiators to keep the transmissions cool. If you got a $68,000 bill a year to maintain 9 vehicles, there should be money enough to start buying some of these vehicles and replace them just out of the cross charges. I agree with Councilman Bell, and this is costing us too much money to maintain a vehicle that's inefficient.
Over
100,000. You're costing, you know, I don't know what the vehicle is. I'd have to see it myself. But
we have a couple Crown Victorias. We have a couple Ford Taurus, predominantly Ford Taurus.
Yeah, and I'm meaning more look under the hood.
Do you have a car preference, or is there something in our fleet that we acquire that would fit your needs?
Yeah, something like a Ford Fusion. I mean, nothing, what we already have in the fleet, you know, something that's just fuel efficient. We have one deputy who's like 6'5", who couldn't fit into a teeny tiny compact car. He's one of the ones that drives a Crown Vic because he can actually fit in. But otherwise, we just need to fit in mail and documents and subpoenas, things like that. So no need for an SUV or a station wagon or anything. It's a compact, fuel efficient vehicle.
Mr. Rivera, how do you feel that you've had an opportunity to express all your concerns and comments to this tribunal? Are you done?
Yes, sir.
Any further questions? That's my old union days, I'm sorry. Any further questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
These budget hearings we shouldn't have. Anything under other? No. Any other public comment? No. We have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All not voting? Thank you very much.